Vocation, written by Diaster, read by Opalsong. Fandom, men's hockey RPF. Rating, explicit. Relationship, Sidney Crosby, Alexander Ovechkin. Sidney Crosby, Jack Johnson. Sidney Crosby, Connor Sheary. Also tagged for Alpha Beta Omega Dynamics. Sex work. Sort of. More like sex volunteerism, TBH. And intersex. Author's notes. The original text was posted for Work in Progress Amnesty, and therefore is in technically an unfinished work that will never be finished. To quote the author, "The world-building bunny got me through 9K of this and then ran out. I didn't have the will to write, like, another 10K of the never-ending heat sex." For clarity, Crosby-Ovechkin is the main pairing. Content warnings. Sorry, this is going to be a narrative instead of a list because it's a little hard to describe. One of the characters here is this AU's equivalent of intersex. He has a bad history with medical professionals related to that, and also calls himself stuff that may make you wince. There's also mentions of dysphoria around genitals and sexual desires. The POV character's internal monologue also does some description of another character's genitalia in terms of what's typical for a given biological sex/dynamic, which may be upsetting or alienating. In the heat context, a character has sex that he consents to but is not looking forward to and does not start out enjoying. There's some discussion of this AU's equivalent of biphobia. And the final scene, involving different characters, discusses sexual encounters between teenagers, one of which results in an unintended pregnancy. The sex is not described in detail, but you can easily skip the last scene if you want to. Whew. I did my best. This subject matter is tricky, and I'm sure I have room for improvement. Recorded for Kinktober, 2025.
My lover's got humor. She's a giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. I should have worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak, a fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love it. Command me to be.
When Connor's heat breaks, Sid can smell it right away. They're still tied, Sid's front plastered to Connor's back, Sid's not swollen thick. So Sid wraps his arm more securely around Connor, holding him still. Sid's had Omegas try to bounce right out of bed the minute heat is over, and that does not end well when Sid's knot hasn't gone down yet. But Connor just sighs happily and leans back against Sid. He's pretty easygoing, and he told Sid he's had heat guides for every heat since he was 16, so he's comfortable having an alpha acquaintance in his bed. "You hungry?" Sid asks, which is probably a pointless question. Even if it weren't for the heat, Connor is still a hockey player. When is he not hungry? Predictably, Connor makes an affirmative noise. So Sid reaches under one of the pillows for the energy bar he stashed there and tears open the wrapper. Carefully, he breaks off a piece and props himself on his elbow to put the bite of energy bar up to Connor's lips. When Sid moves, he's careful to keep his hips still so he doesn't jar Connor with his knot. It's second nature by now, after so many heats over so many years. After Connor finishes the bar, he lets out a long sigh and mumbles, "Thanks for doing this, Sid." I'm happy to do it, Sid says truthfully, and it's my job. Not officially, both according to tradition and according to law. Being a heat guide or a rut guide is a volunteer thing only. Teams aren't officially allowed to condition compensation on a player's decision. But Sid knew from a very young age what would be expected of him as a leader and an alpha, and the Pens organization has made clear that it sees his leadership as part of his value. Yeah, Connor agrees, nodding with satisfaction. Your job, that's how it's supposed to be, you know? It's the captain's job to take care of his team. And you get that, Sid. And that's great. You're great. He finishes sincerely, still post-orgasm dopey. Sid tries not to laugh. This is part of the fun of being a heat guide. Learning with each Omega rookie, each Omega trade. Something new and intimate about his teammates. In Connor's case, it seems to be that he's kind of a dork. A sweet, sincere dork. While he is recovering from his heat. So Sid says, as solemnly as he can. Thanks, Connor. So great, Connor continues, smiling. And then, suddenly, he scowls. Not like stupid Ovechkin, he says. Sid's stomach sinks. Not this again, he thinks, wearily. Normally, when the topic of Ovechkin's captaincy comes up, Sid just walks away, if he can manage it. Unfortunately, that's not an option this time. You could go down a little faster, he thinks pointedly at his knot, still stuffed tight inside. But it ignores him, like usual. That's how it's supposed to be, you know, Connor tells him, bleary-eyed but totally certain. If I played for the Caps, I'd ask for a trade. I don't know how that team has any Omegas left. You're so much better than him, Sid. He's not even a real captain. Sid could not possibly be less interested in talking about Alex Ovechkin's long-standing refusal to serve as the Capitals' heat guide. But people sure do love to talk to Sid about it. They seem to think he'll relish the chance to compare himself to Ovechkin, that he agrees with everyone who thinks that he's better than Ovechkin because he's volunteered to fuck his Omega teammates when their bodies need it. But Sid always gives them the same boring, honest answer he's going to give Connor now. Being a heat guide or a rut guide isn't for everyone. It's a really personal choice. If Backstrom is doing a good job as the Caps' heat guide, and Sid's never heard anything to the contrary, then I don't see why Ovechkin should take the job away from him just because Ovechkin has the C. If Gino had the C, I'd still be the Pens heat guide for sure. Connor snorts. Because G's a beta, so he wouldn't be captain anyway. There are beta captains, Sid points out, as neutrally as he can. Just two right now, but it's better than it used to be. Thankfully, Connor doesn't seem interested in a lengthy philosophical debate about the merits of greater status diversity in the NHL. He just sighs and settles in a little closer to Sid and repeats, Well, you're the best captain, so thanks. You're welcome. A few minutes later, Sid's knot finally obliges him by going down enough that he can slip out. Once they're separated, he shepherds Connor into the shower to clean up, and then into the kitchen for some Gatorade and an omelet. Thanks again, Connor says afterwards, standing in the foyer, his bag slung over his shoulder. I'd heard that you were, he blushes, looking like he's already regretting having opened his mouth. Sorry, I mean, you know how good you are, obviously. Sid can't totally hide his smile, but he keeps it small, gentle. I try, he says. Take care of yourself, okay? Lots of fluids for the next 24 hours. After the door closes behind Connor, Sid climbs up the stairs to start cleaning up the bedroom. This is how it's going to be from now on, he thinks ruefully. I've been in the league so long that the rookies can remember jerking off to a poster of me on their bedroom wall. He pulls out his phone and texts Tanger. Guiding didn't used to make me feel so fucking old. Tanger texts back.
Baby Omega's wearing you out?
Sid rolls his eyes and replies.
Baby Alpha's wearing you out? Please.
Tanger texts.
They can't even keep up with me.
Sid smiles at his phone and then tucks it into his pocket. It's the work of a few minutes to clean up Connor's dishes and replace the sheets on the bed. He restocks his heat kit on autopilot, his mind occupied with dinner planning. He's got the whole evening in front of him now, after all. He might as well get a little fancy. In some ways, Worlds always feels like Sid imagines a big college reunion must feel. Bumping into people you haven't seen for a while, or people you've seen but never really talked to before. It's one of the best places Sid has ever found for talking shop, which is great, obviously. But also not great in that it keeps tanking Sid's plans to explore Prague. He keeps leaving to go do touristy things, but then running into Lundqvist or Pavelski or Kusharov in the elevator or the lobby. And then 2 hours later, he's still in the hotel bar hashing over some point of technique, and it's too dark to go out sightseeing. Damn it. Tonight, Sid had gotten folded into dinner plans with a group of Finns and Americans pieced together by Seth Jones and Pekka Rinne at a restaurant serving excellent traditional Czech food, so at least he can cross that off his tourist list. He begs off drinks after and treks back to the hotel, planning on a quiet night in. The knock comes just as Sid is getting ready for bed. When he opens the door, there's Gino, looking tense as hell. "I come in?" he asks Sid, more a demand than a request. "Yeah, come in. What's up?" Sid leads Gino into the hotel room. He doesn't approve of Sieg's burning the midnight oil with Nate when they still have games to play, but he's glad to be alone in the room now. "Need to ask favor," Gino says tersely. "Ask you heat guide, for teammate." Sid rocks back on his heels a little, surprised. "You want me to be a heat guide for somebody on the Russian team? Doesn't your team have designated guides?" "Yes." Gino is rubbing his palms over his thighs over and over. He has been since he came in the door. "We have, but my friend..." He shakes his head. "Look, is complicated, Sid. Hard to explain. But he don't want team heat guide. He know you reputation. Know you best. And then I tell him, you good guy, I trust a lot." He gives Sid a pleading look. "You help, Sid? I'm worried about him." Sid hesitates for a moment, not out of any reluctance, but just to get his head in the game. Usually he has a little more warning than this, but he can roll with the punches. He starts shucking off his pajamas. "Yeah, I'll do it." It's weird, to say the least, to get a request from a different country's national team. But it's not the first time Sid has served as heat guide for an Omega from another team. Or for a friend of a friend. And it means a lot to hear Gino talk about how he told his teammate that Sid was the best. That Sid was trustworthy. Sid wants to live up to that. He pulls his jeans back on and, after a second's thought, pulls on the t-shirt he was wearing today, too. The more scent his clothes carry, the better. He asks Gino, "Can you grab my heat kit? It's the red bag on the left side of my suitcase." "Yes, I get." When Sid is dressed again, he takes the heat kit bag from Gino and follows him out of the room. After climbing up a few floors, Gino leads him down another hallway and then ushers him through a door like all the other doors. When Sid walks inside, the first thing he notices is the smell of preheat, crisp and salty. The second thing he notices is Alexander Ovechkin sitting on the bed, looking tense and miserable. He doesn't see anybody else in the room. "Where's your Omega friend?" he asks Gino. Gino gives him a helpless look and says, "No Omega, just Sasha," gesturing at Ovechkin. Sid is abruptly furious. "You brought me up here for a prank?" he asks, looking back and forth between them. "And why the fuck does it smell like preheat in here if..." "Not prank," Ovechkin bites out. He's staring at the ground. "Sasha in preheat, Sid." Gino says, quietly, urgently. I tell you, it's complicated. I don't understand, but he need your help, Sid. Alexander Ovechkin cannot be in preheat because alphas don't go into heat, period. Alphas go into rut. But there's no way around the fact that that's Alexander Ovechkin sitting on the bed. And there's no way to mistake this sweet, salty preheat smell for the smoky, musky scent of pre-rut. So what now? Sid thinks. He takes a deep breath. And then resolves to not take any more deep breaths. Fuck. The smell of preheat is fucking strong in here. He fumbles open his heat kit and grabs the vanilla extract, then dabs some under his nostrils until he can think clearly again. He decides to try to start from the beginning. He sits next to Ovechkin on the bed, not too close. Ovechkin, he says, and he waits for the other alpha to look up at him. You're an alpha, he starts carefully, and Ovechkin nods. But you're going into heat, he continues, and Ovechkin nods again. His fists are balled up on top of his thighs. Have you ever gone into heat before? Sid asks. Ovechkin shakes his head sharply. Never. Sid nods as if he was expecting to hear that, when in truth, he was not expecting any of this. And there's basically nothing Ovechkin could say at this point that would make him more surprised. So you've never had a heat before. Have you gone into rut? Ovechkin nods, then volunteers. Not much. 5 times. 5 times is really not much from the perspective of a fairly average alpha like Sid, who's had 2 or 3 ruts a year since he was 14. But there's clearly another level of stuff going on here that Sid doesn't have a handle on yet. And he can't get bogged down in that. He tries to focus on the basic facts. Slowly, he summarizes. So you're a 32-year-old alpha who's never had a heat before, and out of nowhere, all of a sudden, you're in preheat. You must be pretty freaked out, Sid concludes, feeling a throb of sympathy. Ovechkin just stares at him for a moment. Then he bursts out laughing. It's not exactly a happy laugh, but it's not derisive either. He's laughing at Sid, but the look on his face is incredulous, not cruel. When Ovechkin's laughter runs out, he looks at Sid with genuine amusement and says, "Yes, Sidney Crosby, I'm pretty freaked out. Only Sidney Crosby," he adds, shaking his head. Sid doesn't mind being laughed at. He's just relieved to see Ovechkin looking more like his normal self, even if it is at his expense. Well, I would be too, he says. Does this run in your family or anything? Ovechkin looks back down at the floor. No, I don't know anybody with this happen to them. Just me, he adds with a bitter smile. You help me, Sidney Crosby? Sid hesitates. Every instinct he has is screaming at him to help. These are the moments when his calling means the most, when his training and his calm and his ability to improvise can make the difference between a pleasurable rite of passage and a degrading, frightening, out-of-control nightmare. But he's not trained to guide alphas through heat. 30 seconds ago, he would have said alphas don't have heats. And he's not convinced that Ovechkin wouldn't be better off going to a hospital. Ovechkin's gaze is intent, challenging. Quietly, he says, everybody I know say, Sidney Crosby, best heat guide, most experienced, most responsible. And Zhenya say he trusts you with anything, with his life, and I trust him. Speaking faster, almost under his breath, Ovechkin continues, and have to be secret. Nobody know about this, not ever, not want to be freak. He spits, clearly scared, and Sid can't blame him. In the end, it's an easy choice. Yeah, Sid says, I'll take you through your heat. He doesn't really know what he's doing, and if Ovechkin has the typical male alpha anatomy, then Sid's not even sure what taking him through his heat is going to mean, but he can't say no. This, as much as hockey, is his vocation. And if Ovechkin trusts him, then Sid can't turn his back on him. Ovechkin and Gino both visibly relax, and Gino turns to leave. Sid stops him with a hand on his arm. Alex? Sid starts, because if he's going to have Alexander Ovechkin's face in his armpit for the next half hour, he can't keep calling him Ovechkin. Did you want me to just induce your heat and then you can get through it on your own? Or with Gino, maybe? Or did you want me to take you all the way through it? Alex looks confused for a moment. Then something grim settles into the lines of his face. You let Zhenya go. Then we talk. That's fair, Sid supposes. He lets go of Gino and waits for the door to close, giving them privacy. He begins. It's fine with me either way. My feelings won't be hurt if you just want me to induce and then go. Not everybody wants Crosby. Sid shuts his mouth and waits. He can be patient. Ovechkin, Alex, seems to be having a hard time finding the words. Eventually, he says, in a quiet but hard voice. Induce, I need. Or I stay in preheat for days. Everybody find out. Fuck is different. Fuck I don't need. So if you don't want, we don't do. Sid keeps his voice steady. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't okay with doing it either way. A heat guide is here for you. To give you what you want and what you need. I don't fuck people who don't want it. But I've never turned away an Omega, Sid almost says. A person who wants me to take them through to the end, either. It has to be your choice. That's how this works. Alex gnaws on his lip. I show you, he decides. He pushes down his pants, taking Sid by surprise, and then extends a hand, clearly expecting Sid to come closer. I show you, he repeats. So Sid, in the spirit of open-mindedness that has gotten him this far, gives Alex his hand and tries to keep his face blank as Alex pulls Sid's hand down to his groin. He draws Sid's hand past a typical alpha cock, not nestled right at the base. Nice placement, Sid thinks, envious, then scolds himself. Then over a typical alpha ball sack, heavy and full, and then further back to, oh, Sid says softly. His fingertips brush over an opening, just barely damp. Not the totally typical male alpha anatomy, then. Alex releases his hand and gives him a challenging look. You still say my choice? You still don't care if you fuck? Sid says the first thing that comes to mind. Honestly, I'm relieved, he admits, before wondering whether that was a fucking stupid thing to say. It's not that you can't fit a knot into somebody's ass, but it's definitely not, Sid tries to figure out how to put this. It takes a lot of patience, he concludes. For a second, Alex looks bemused, like that's not at all the response he was expecting. Then he juts his chin out and says harshly, I'm Alpha Sidney Crosby. His gaze on Sid's face is fierce, but his shoulders are hunched in protectively like he's waiting to fend off a blow. I know you are, Sid says, bemused in return. The way you fucking paced me into the boards every time I so much as breathe on your goalies has made that crystal fucking clear. It's not that Omegas don't get possessive, and it's not that this isn't all just blatant stereotyping to begin with. But Ovechkin's particular combination of cheerful, vicious protectiveness has always had alpha written all over it. I check with love, Alex protests, the way he always does when Sid snarls at him over a hit. And for a minute, he looks like the same old Alex Ovechkin again. And then the joking falls away and his brow furrows, thoughtful. He studies Sid's face. Sid, not sure what he's looking for, just lets him. Finally, Alex says, I want everything. Full heat. Sid nods. Then let's get started. He pulls his shirt over his head, then frowns when Alex starts doing the same. No, you keep your clothes on. Actually, he amends. If you could put on Gino's clothes, that would be the best thing. Alex is giving him a confused look, and Sid realizes that he's failed to ask a pretty basic question. Alex, have you done this before? Not heat, obviously, just been a guide, had a guide, whatever. Alex smiles, a sardonic, twisted thing. Don't you know, Sidney Crosby? I'm bad, terrible captain, most selfish alpha. Won't be heat guide like good Canadian captain. He laughs, and it sounds more like a cough. I'm think everybody know they talk about so much. I know you're not the cap's heat guide, Sid says, on the theory that Alex is probably not interested in Sid's rant about how it's not selfish to want to choose for yourself who gets access to your body. But you might have guided a friend's heat, or maybe you had a rut guide for your ruts. I don't know. No. Alex chews on his lip for a second, then admits, this all new to me, Sidney Crosby. Okay. Sid squares his shoulders. He's widely acknowledged to be pretty good at making plays, so that's what he's going to do. First, stop calling me Sidney Crosby. Second, why don't you start changing into Gino's clothes and I'll explain what we're going to do, all right? Alex shucks off his pants and gets up to root around in Gino's suitcase. What I call you then, not Sidney Crosby. And who's going to tell Zhenya I'm going to fuck in his clothes? Just Sidney is fine. Or Sid, Sid answers. He unbuttons and unzips his jeans, then starts shoving them down his legs. He pushes his underwear down with it. And Gino's a grown-up. He'll get over it. Why I'm going to fuck in Zhenya's clothes? Alex asks, quirking an eyebrow. Sid's plan had been to explain while Alex is changing, but it seems clear that Alex doesn't give a shit about Sid's plan. He wants an explanation before he starts putting on Gino's clothes. Sid supposes he shouldn't have expected any different from an alpha. He explains, it's because Gino's a beta, so his clothes don't have any scent, and wearing them will keep your scent trapped close to your skin, at least a little. The idea is for you to get as much of my scent as possible and me to get as little of yours as possible. You need alpha scent to trigger your heat, but if I get too much heat scent, it'll bring on my rut, and that's a bad idea for a lot of reasons. Starting with the fact that I'll get out of control and won't be able to take care of you the way I promised. An alpha and an omega sharing their heat and rut at the same time may be a beautiful romantic gesture for long-term couples who know each other's bodies well and don't have to worry about hurting each other, or about contraception. But the whole point of guiding is for the guide to keep a clear head, and that's twice as important when Sid's guiding a first heat or dealing with special circumstances, both of which are true here. He can't afford to lose his head. Huh. Alex appears to be thinking that over. But at least he's changing while he thinks now. Sid will take it. It takes less time for Sid to strip than it does for Alex to change, so Sid wanders over to his heat kit and pulls out three little bottles. Hey, I'm gonna dab some strong smell under my nostrils to block out your heat scent. Do you want vanilla, lemon, or peppermint? When he turns to look, Alex is silently cracking up as he yanks Gino's sweats up around his waist. What? Sid asks, a little miffed. Only Sidney Crosby, Alex says again. There's a thin edge of hysteria in his laughter, but there's genuine humor, too. Pick one you like most, just Sidney. I like them all, Sid points out, or I wouldn't carry them around. You're gonna have to smell it, too, you know. Alex sighs. Peppermint, just Sidney. I'm in Zhenya's clothes now. What do I do? Sid uncaps the bottle and dabs the peppermint extract in and around his nostrils. Now we cuddle. He pulls back the covers and lays his naked body on the bed, then beckons Alex close. For this part, you put your face in my armpit, basically. Alex gives Sid a cool look. Without taking his eyes off Sid, he sits down on the edge of the bed and says, I hear team joke about this. I think face go other place, Sidney Crosby. At first, Sid doesn't understand what Alex is getting at. When he does, he flushes red and shakes his head. I don't do that. I mean, if the person I'm guiding wants to blow me, if that's what they really want, I don't turn them down. It is faster. But most people who offer, it's just tradition. And it's a fucking stupid tradition, because they don't owe me anything. Alex looks thoughtful again, but he stays silent as he crawls under Sid's arm to slide nose first into Sid's armpit. "What we do now, Sydney?" he asks, slightly muffled. "Yeah, hang on a minute." Sid snags his own sweaty t-shirt and drapes it around Alex's shoulders for an extra dose of scent, and then pulls up the covers. "And now put your arm over my chest. Scent is the most important, but skin contact is important too. Good." Sid always likes this part, the intimacy of it, the quiet before the action. There's a lot to be said for spending time with another person with nothing to do, nothing you can do, besides talk or coexist in companionable silence. Remembering that Alex has never had a guide before, Sid explains, "We're going to do this until you transition into your full heat. I won't be able to smell it on you, so you'll have to tell me." "How I'm no?" The movement of Alex's lips tickles the tender skin under Sid's arm, thin over his ribs. "It's pretty much the same as the transition between pre-rut and rut," Sid says, hoping that will make Alex feel more comfortable. Alex says dryly, "So we know I'm in heat when I start hump your leg." Sid is surprised into a laugh. "I mean, yeah, basically. And then I'll need to make you come as soon as possible. If you want to hump my leg, you can go for it. But otherwise, I'll jerk you off. Then I'll, lick up some of your cum." Alex's eyes go wide, and then he shifts to squint up at Sid's face. "This more kinky than I'm expect." Sid rolls his eyes and explains, "It's so I don't go into rut. A rut is a big investment of time and energy, and my body won't make that investment if the..." Sid almost says Omega again. "Person in heat isn't looking for an alpha. So if I get a good whiff of your cum before I'm in pre-rut, my brain says, he's already being satisfied by somebody, he doesn't need my rut. And it short-circuits the process, so your heat smell won't trigger a rut anymore." "So you lick cum?" Alex is trying for a dubious tone, but Sid is amused to notice that his pulse has picked up since they started talking about it. "I've burned out my nose pretty good with this peppermint stuff," Sid points out, waving his free hand at his nostrils. "I'll get a better, faster hit of your cum by putting it in my mouth than by trying to wash off the peppermint extract and then sniff your jizz." Alex is quiet for a minute. He pets Sid's ribs absently. Finally, he says, "You know a lot about this, just Sydney." "I'm the best," Sid says, without arrogance. He refuses to be anything else. The alternative is promising a person who's placed their body and their psyche in your hands that you'll care for them at a time when they can't care for themselves, and then breaking that promise. Every time Sid guides a heat, he knows that if he fails to keep his own rut at bay, then, at best, a person who needs him will get a horny, careless, incoherent fucking machine where they expected a gentle, considerate, responsible caretaker. At worst, they'll get pregnant, or mated, or both. Sid knows some guys consider this just another everyday responsibility, like being available to the press after games. But to Sid, however corny it might sound if he said it out loud, it's sacred. And it's nights like this, when he knows his skills are going to be tested, when it means the most. Thinking of the possible consequences reminds Sid of something he needs to ask. "Can you get pregnant?" Alex shakes his head as much as he can with his face where it is. "No. Doctors say is nothing up there that make egg. Nothing that grow baby." Then his arm tightens around Sid, almost tight enough to hurt. "Of course, doctors who say this, they same doctors who say I'm never gonna have heat," he says bitterly. "So maybe doctors full of shit about this too. Fuck." Sid strokes Alex's back, trying to provide as much reassurance as he can. "Hey, it's okay. I always wear a condom anyway, for STIs, and I've had the shot, so it's not a big deal. It just means I need to be careful where I put my fingers after I touch my cum." That makes Alex's pulse pick up, too. Hopefully arousal rather than anxiety. Nuzzling into Sid's side, he says, "Maybe you don't need condom anyway. Maybe I fuck you. Can't get just Sydney pregnant." "Maybe you will fuck me," Sid says. Although he privately sort of hopes not. He was speaking from personal experience when he told Alex that it's not easy fitting a knot into somebody's ass. Sid tried being a rut guide for a male alpha once and only once, and not being able to walk without wincing for a day afterward was a pretty good argument against ever wanting to try it again. "We'll do whatever your body wants," Sid says. Though, and he means it, that's what this is about, giving Alex what he needs. Alex hums happily. "Sidney Crosby's ass, I like." The compliment would probably mean more if it weren't probably the product of heat brain. Alex's hips are starting to twitch against Sid's leg. "Are you in full heat yet?" asks Sid. Alex shakes his head. "Need more Sidney," he announces, before tilting his face to nestle his nose right in the sweatiest part of Sid's armpit and taking a deep breath. He hums with pleasure again and repeats the sniff. His hips are rolling now, tight, urgent motions. "Sid, fuck, smells so good," Alex moans. His hand on Sid's chest goads for Sid's nipple, pinching and tugging. Sid tries not to yelp or squirm at the touch. "Okay, yeah, that's heat all right. Alex, you want to jerk off on me?" Alex hisses, "Yes, yes," and starts crawling up the bed as if he's going to kiss Sid. "Nope, nope." Sid pushes Alex away as gently as he can. "Too close. I'm going to get too much of your scent that way." "I want you smell like me," Sid growls, pushing into Sid's hands, trying determinedly to get closer. One lunge gets him within a few inches of Sid's nose, and Sid catches a faint whiff of his heat scent, even through the peppermint. "Shit," Sid thinks. "They're running out of time." He says urgently, "Alex, I want you to come on my chest, okay? I want you to come right now. I want to feel it." Sid keeps one hand between them, but he reaches down for Alex's dick with the other, trying to speed this along. When his hand closes around Alex's cock, Alex bows his body inward and groans. He thrusts into Sid's hand faster and faster, but he still keeps trying to climb up Sid's body, and Sid has to fend him off one-handed in the middle of a hand job. "I'm not gonna fuck this up," Sid mutters to himself, grateful for every drop of coordination he's developed over his hockey career. This is not easy. Eventually, he reaches some sort of compromise, letting Alex straddle his chest, which is still closer than Sid's totally comfortable with, but easier than trying to keep him at arm's length. Alex, alpha to the bone, wants to run the show, the way Omegas Sid has guided rarely insist on, especially this early in their heats. But Sid, clear-headed, is the one who knows what's best this time, and eventually he gets his way. Hot, sticky cum stripes his face and neck, and all Sid has to do is lick his lips to get the tangy, bitter taste he needs. When he's sure he's got it, when the taste coats his tongue and the back of his throat, Sid relaxes his arm and lets Alex get as close as he wants. Alex leans in to hover over Sid's face and neck, sniffing. Sid asks, "What do you smell?" "Peppermint," Alex says, making a face. Then a look of intense self-satisfaction comes over his face, and he says, "And mine. Smell like mine. Good." And he collapses heavily across Sid's chest and proceeds to lie there like a sack of potatoes, radiating possessive contentment. Sid can't help smiling. He's not used to this kind of possessiveness when he guides, but he finds it kind of charming. "That's right," he murmurs, stroking Alex's hair. "For tonight, I'm yours." And then he heaves a sigh and starts trying to climb out from underneath the 200 pounds of hockey player that's currently weighing down his torso. "Come on, Alex, I've got to get up." "No," Alex grumbles. He wraps his long arms around Sid's chest and refuses to be moved. When Sid persists in shoving at him, Alex shoots him a disgruntled look and complains, "Why get up?" "I've got to wash the peppermint off my nose. I want to be able to smell you now that it's safe." Alex narrows his eyes. but not wash off cum, he insists. Sid laughs. No, I'm not gonna wash off your cum. Negotiating with somebody in heat does not usually reward subtlety, so Sid adds, don't you want me to be able to smell that I'm yours? Predictably, that sends Alex scrambling off Sid post-haste. Yes, smell mine. Go. Alex scolds, prodding Sid out of the bed before nestling down in the wrecked covers, curled in a tight ball. In the bathroom mirror, Sid's a mess, cum smeared and rumpled and a little harried looking. But smiling, too. There are a lot of unknowns. Truth be told, Alex's heat is nothing but unknowns. But this is what Sid works for. This is why he reads up on anatomy in his spare time and swaps tips with other heat guides and reads case studies. This is why he takes each heat on its own terms and tries to learn something from each one. This one looks to be more difficult than most, but Sid can't think of anyone else who would be better equipped to handle Alex through it. As he takes a deep breath, inhaling the scent of the room for the first time, Sid is fascinated to realize that that, too, is different. Sid's never guided a heat without the warm omega smell of green things in the sun, or the specific heat scents that signal an omega is fertile for breeding. Dark like damp earth and bright like ripe berries. He didn't even know the heat scents that he associated with the sex part of heat. The heavy animal smell of hormone-rich, slick, and a sweetened sweat salt scent could even be separated from the others. But they can, and Sid likes it. When Sid walks back into the bedroom, Alex isn't curled up in the covers anymore. He's sitting against the headboard with his legs pulled up in front of him and his arms wrapped around them, tight, a defensive posture if Sid's ever seen one. He doesn't look up when Sid joins him on the bed. Sid asks, low, you doing okay? Alex shrugs. Before, my brain all fuzzy and dumb. Now I can think. And I'm not sure I like it, he doesn't say. But Sid hears anyway. Since you can think clearly, Sid says apologetically, we should talk about what's going to happen next. We probably won't get another chance for a while. Alex shrugs, a sharp, jerky movement. What happened next? You gonna fuck me? Is how heat work. Don't have to talk about that. It's really hard not to touch him. Keeping his voice steady and quiet, Sid explains. Not necessarily. If you don't want that, there are other things we can do. Other things we can try.
Is heat, Sidney, Alex replies just as quietly, is what my body's gonna want.
As Sid starts to protest, Alex adds, barely audible, body already want. Okay, Sid says it, but he doesn't really feel it. He doesn't like the blankness he sees on Alex's face, but he can't read Alex's mind and shouldn't try. He checks, and that's okay with you? Alex shrugs again. I can take. That's not the right answer. Alex, this isn't a competition or a test. It's... Alex stares down at the sheets. We try. We try, and if I hate, we do something else. But I can feel what my body want. I want inside. Alex, Sid's earlier confidence is fading fast. I never feel this before, Alex says softly. I don't recognize. I feel like different person, like I don't know myself. Sid's heart goes out to him. Alex, I'm really thinking we should try something else, something other than penetration. He tries again, and he dares to rest a hand on Alex's shoulder. Alex sighs and looks up at Sid. Other things, they work always? Sid admits. Not always. So we try inside first. That's pretty much the opposite of what Sid would advise, but Alex sounds sure, and Sid tries not to be in the business of talking people into doing things in bed they've told him they don't want. They'll try it Alex's way. That's his right. Okay, Sid says, taking a slow breath in. He's pretty sure he knows the answer to this one, but he asks, do you ever put anything inside yourself when you masturbate? Not in your ass. I'm talking about your, Sid breaks off, suddenly unsure. What do you want me to call it? Your... Alex cracks a smile. There's not much amusement in it.
Is cunt, Sydney. Can say cunt. I'm not offend.
Are you sure? I can use another word if you... Alex huffs out a sigh.
Cunt, just Sydney.
I'm not need another word, and no, he says, more softly. I'm not put inside when I jerk off. Never. I don't touch there. Have you had lovers who... No. Alex shakes his head sharply. Nothing there. No one there. Just doctors, he adds, in a voice like a bruise. Sid strokes his hand down from Alex's shoulder to his wrist. Alex doesn't shrug off the comfort. Okay, Sid says, maintaining calm. Do you get wet when you get turned on? Maybe during your ruts? Alex thinks about it, but ultimately says in frustration, don't know. Out of rut, I don't think, but it's hard to tell because I don't touch, you know? And I have wet anyway from sweat, cum, other person's wet, so... He shrugs. In rut, even more hard to tell because my omega's wet is so much, get everywhere. Sid nods. Okay, makes sense. All right, I'm gonna get some lube in case you don't get wet. And then I think we should try it while you've still got some brains left. Alex tenses right up again, but he nods back and squares his shoulders. Sid gets up and grabs his heat kit, pulling the condoms and the lube out and setting them on the bedside table. I'm gonna start with fingers, Sid says, partly because he's not hard yet, but mostly because no fucking way is he attempting to shove his knot into a hole that may not even be built for penetration, for all he knows. Slow and steady all the way. I was thinking you could lie down and I could blow you during. If it's uncomfortable, the pleasure could be a good distraction. Or we could do it like this, Sid offers, gesturing in the way he's sitting up against the headboard, with you kneeling over me. That would give you more control. Immediately, Alex says, like this, and Sid nods. As he settles in and pops the cap on the lube, he looks up at Alex. Alex is staring over Sid's shoulder at the wall, as if not meeting Sid's eyes will make him and everything he represents go away. He looks like he's about to face a firing squad, or go under the knife. Sid aches for him, and he shakes his head, frustrated. This shouldn't be a clinical procedure, and Sid can't be clinical about it. Alex is a person to him, not a patient. Hey, he asks, brushing his fingers over Alex's jaw. The dark hair of Alex's beard is surprisingly soft. Can I kiss you? Alex's eyes come into focus, and he looks briefly surprised. Then he smirks down at Sid. It's not his best effort, but it lifts Sid's spirits anyway. And says, don't know, just Sydney. Can you? Smartass, Sid grumbles. He leans up to press his lips fleetingly against Alex's. Alex raises an eyebrow. You call that kiss? With perfect arrogance, Alex grasps Sid's jaw and takes Sid's mouth, bruising Sid's lips with the force of the kiss and nipping and biting until Sid gasps. Still close enough that Sid can feel every hitch of Alex's breath against his cheek, Alex rasps, that's kiss, just Sydney. Sid smiles and lets out an exhale of mixed pleasure and relief. Yeah, it was. He could have gotten it up for a dead-eyed firing squad Alex because that's his job, and Sid made a promise. But for this arrogant Alex, the Alex that Sid has known and battled for 10 years, he doesn't even have to try. Sid's dick is perked up already, twitching against his thigh. Okay, Sid takes a breath. Okay. He slicks up one finger and reaches behind Alex's balls. Surrounded by wiry hair, he finds the opening he touched before and carefully slides his finger inside. It's slick enough that Sid probably wouldn't have hurt Alex if he'd forgone the lube, but dry enough that Sid's glad he didn't try. The instant Sid's finger is in, Alex's hole clenches down on it, and his breathing goes ragged. His chin is tipped down to his chest, and his shaggy hair shields his face from Sid. His hands dig painfully into Sid's shoulders. "You're okay," Sid murmurs, holding perfectly still, ready to pull out if Alex says the word, or flinches, or anything. "You're gonna be okay. Should I take my finger out?" "No!" Alex's hands clamp down even harder on Sid's shoulders. Sid tries to keep his voice even. "Alex, if I'm hurting you, that's not okay with me." He's not willing to be the instrument of someone else's self-harm, even if that's what they want. He has limits, too. But Alex makes a tight, frustrated noise in the back of his throat and grits out, "It's not hurt, it's..." He makes the same noise again. "Tell me," Sid urges, rubbing Alex's hip in encouragement. "I want," Alex snarls. He sounds resentful. "Does it feel good?" Alex growls. "It feel like eat shitty food," he explains. "I don't like, but when I'm hungry, really hungry, it's good even though I don't like." "If you don't like it, I should..." Sid starts to pull his finger out, but stops, shocked, when a moan slides out of Alex's throat. "Alex?" Alex's hand shoots down to grip Sid's wrist, holding it in place. He lifts himself up experimentally, then lowers himself back down. Sid can see his face now, and he looks considering, if still a little uncomfortable. "Is that better?" Sid asks, trying to hold as still as possible. "Better," Alex agrees. Sid has some guesses why. Alex is in control like this, and with his hips moving and friction building, this feels more like sex as opposed to a medical exam. Softly, hoping this is okay to say, Sid offers, "I like it better too. I like you fucking my hand like this." Alex's head snaps up and he looks at Sid, wide-eyed. His mouth hangs open, maybe in pleasure, maybe in surprise. Then his gaze sharpens, going bright and hungry. "Yes," he says intently. "Yes!" And then, "More!" Sid checks. "Another finger?" And gets an impatient noise for his trouble. His two fingers slide in easy, and Alex draws in a swift breath. "Okay?" Sid asks. Alex shakes his head side to side once, like his thoughts are too loud and he's trying to shake them quiet. He leans in and murmurs in Sid's ear, "It's what I want, just Sidney, so give me." For all the softness of his voice, there's no mistaking it's a demand, not a request. Maybe it is that simple, Sid thinks. He doesn't actually have much to do. Alex's hand is still tight around his wrist, holding his hand right where he wants it, while Alex moves up and down on his fingers and his breathing gets heavier. "That's gonna cramp in a few minutes," Sid thinks, but he's had worse while guiding, and he suspects this is easier for Alex than it would be to have Sid controlling the movement, fucking in and out. "Hey, kiss me again," he says, and Alex smirks. "Need more practice, real kissing?" he drawls, and Sid's heart soars. That's the Alex he wants to see. Or maybe it's just that that's Alex at all, period. "Yeah," Sid tilts his head up, half invitation, half challenge. "Show me how it's done." And oh, he does. Hard and hungry again. Enough to leave Sid breathless. When he has enough air to speak, Sid meets Alex's eyes. "Is that what you want?" It comes out, a half gasp. "You want to take me? Yeah? Yeah." Sid can see the heat haze in Alex's gaze as desire begins to swallow him and his hips move faster. "Can I touch your dick?" Sid asks. "Can I jerk you?" "Yes," Alex says sharply. "Touch me. Do it." "I want that too," Sid says low. "I want you to take me like that, with your mouth, with your whole body. I want you to fuck my fingers, use me. Fuck, Sidney. I want you to fuck my hand like it belongs to you, like it's your right to use it, to fuck every part of me." "Yes, belong," Alex hisses. Yes, mine. Yes, I fuck. Yes, I take. Yeah, that's it. Fucking take me. Alex groans, loud and long, and pulses hot cum all over Sid's hand. He collapses into Sid, head on his shoulder. Sid holds him, feeling, more than anything, relieved. It worked. It turned out okay. Okay-ish. Even if it was dicey in the beginning. He doesn't want to ruin Alex's afterglow, but his wrist is bent really brutally right now. So he whispers, Alex, I'm gonna take my fingers out, okay? He gets an affirmative grunt and slides his fingers out. Alex barely twitches. Normally, this is where Sid would go get some water, but he thinks he's doing more good by holding Alex right now. So he stays where he is until he starts to feel Alex tense up. You okay? Don't make think. Don't make talk. Alex groans. He dips to the side and curls up in the blankets again. I'm gonna go get some water for both of us, Sid tells him. Hang on a second. Sid trots back to the bathroom again. This time, the sight of his own face in the mirror doesn't make him smile. I was so sure I had the answers, he thinks grimly. But he did learn some things. Alex wants penetration, even if he has mixed feelings about that desire. It's important to move instead of inserting something and just keeping it there. And Alex likes being the dominant partner, likes having control. Not a problem for Sid, who's long known that part of the reason he enjoys guiding is that he gets off on the thought of his body being used by his partner. An instrument, a tool. When he gets back into the bedroom, Alex is sitting up against the headboard again. His knees aren't pulled up in front of him this time. Good. But he doesn't look happy. Don't say that shit, he says as soon as he catches sight of Sid. Sid blinks and stops in his tracks. Don't say what? Just don't. Alex is looking down at his lap. Carefully, Sid approaches the bed and sits down on the side, by Alex's feet. Alex, I can't read your mind if you don't tell me what I did wrong. How can I? In an accurate and mocking nasal imitation of Sid's voice, Alex says, Fuck me, Alex. Take me, Alex. Use me. His face twists up. It's don't. Fuck. So much for Sid learning anything. Fuck. Okay, I won't. I'm sorry. I thought you liked it. Sid's voice comes out smaller than he'd like, and Alex's face untwists slightly in response. He sighs and tells Sid, When I'm like that, stupid, because heat, then yes, I like. You right. But when I think about now with good head, it's... He shakes his head. I don't want fake. I don't want acting, so don't. Oh, Sid thinks. Well, that puts a different color on it. If you really don't want me to, I won't say stuff like that, but I wasn't acting, Alex. I wasn't faking anything. Alex's expression closes down again. Bullshit. I meant it, okay? Sid says, starting to get a little heated. Alex sneers. Oh, for sure. You say to all Omegas you fuck. Tell them, take me. Not to Omegas, no, or not usually. Sid holds his voice steady, looks Alex in the eye. But Alphas, yeah, sometimes. He can see that one land, see the surprise and the interest, maybe, on Alex's face. Alphas, you fuck? He asks with an undertone of suspicion. Yeah. Why you do? Sid smiles. Because I want to. Because I like it. Alex is still squinting at him, dubious. Oh, come on, Sid says, smile growing wider, teasing. It's not that weird. Are you telling me you don't have any friends or anybody on the caps who's an alpha married to an alpha or an omega with an omega? Alex considers. No, I do. And he seems almost won over, but then he frowns. But you heat guide, so you like omegas. He says it almost triumphantly. Easily, Sid admits. Oh, I do, for sure. But I like alphas, too. I like both. I admit, that's a little more weird. Huh. Absently, Alex reaches out a hand and tugs on Sid's arm, pulling him closer. You like men and women, too?
Yep. Betas? No, I wish I did, but I gotta have scent. He shrugs. Huh. Alex tilts his head to the side. Who knew? Sidney Crosby is big slut. There's no malice in his voice. He's just considering, trying the idea on, but Sid flinches anyway. I say wrong? Alex peers at him. I know his bad word, but I hear teammates say like joke. I'm sorry, Sid. I don't understand, maybe? Sid shakes his head. No, it's fine. It's... A lot of people do say it as a joke. I just, My last girlfriend called me that when she, dumped me. Which was not that long ago, so it still kind of stings. She say because of this? Because you like alphas and omegas? That was part of it, yeah. Sid's not gonna get into the rest. The way she'd assumed that he'd stop guiding when they got serious. The way he'd kept his mouth shut because he didn't want a fight. The way his silence ended up making everything worse when he told her he wasn't going to stop, ever. And the fight he'd been hiding from finally happened anyway. Alex frowns. She's jerk! Sid half laughs. I mean, she shouldn't have said that, for sure. But people say a lot of shitty stuff when they're breaking up. It's like temporary insanity, I guess. I don't hold it against her. Alex tugs on Sid's arm again, guiding Sid to sit beside him against the headboard. It feels good to share the warmth of his body. Thank you for talk about this stuff. You don't have to, but it's help. Oh, Sid says, pleased. You're welcome. I'm happy to, though. It's nice. Guiding is always really intimate, but also kind of distant at the same time. Like, people expect you to hold yourself apart emotionally. You're a professional. So talking like this, it's really different. In a good way. I like it. Alex nods. Very softly, he says. It's feel good you say you like alphas. Why's that? Alex shrugs. Before, you get hard, and you kiss me, and look like you turn on. And it's feel good some. Feel good you want me, but feel bad too, because I'm alpha, and I'm think you only want omegas, so... It takes Sid a while to get there, but he makes it in the end. Oh, I know. Of course you're an alpha. And of course I know that. Alex kisses him, just like that. Not fierce like before, but enthusiastic, alive. When he breaks the kiss, he stays close. Close enough to see every little imperfection. Yes, I know now, he smiles. Just Sydney. Ha, I like. When he and Jack had been roommates at Shattuck, they'd practiced guiding with Sid's ruts and Jack's heats, both knowing they'd be expected to be leaders on their future teams. Sid had only fucked up once. He hadn't even thought of it as a fuck-up at the time. He was following the techniques in the book, bringing Jack to heat and then telling Jack to jerk off until he came, while Sid washed the vanilla out of his nostrils in the bathroom. But Jack, like a lot of Omegas, Sid has learned, got skin hungry at the beginning of his heats, and he didn't want to jerk off without Sid touching him. So Sid had come back from the bathroom and walked into their tiny dorm room thick with heat scent. And Jack, not close enough to orgasm to give Sid a hit of cum in time. It could have been worse. It could have been a lot worse. They hadn't woken up mated, and Sid hadn't hurt Jack. But with Sid too out of it to take care of him the way he'd promised, Jack had been famished, exhausted, and dehydrated when it was over. They both had. And Jack's birth control shot had failed, the way they sometimes did, and Sid hadn't been coherent enough to think about condoms while he was in rut, so they'd ended up making the mortifying walk down to the school nurse for the morning after pill the next day. Sid had been the one to smell it on Jack, his body screaming, "Yes, good, claimed mine," while his mind was stuck playing the same, "Shit, shit, shit, I'm the worst alpha, the worst friend in the whole world," over and over like a band that knew only one tune. Jack had a fuck-up too at Shattuck, with one of Sid's ruts, though that one hadn't gotten Jack pregnant.
And most guides have at least a handful of failures over the course of their careers. You can't control everything, people like to say. But Sid had held Jack through the cramps caused by the pill, had let Jack leave bite marks in his arm to get through the pain, and thought, "Yes, I can." The end. If you enjoyed this podfic and would like to leave a comment, you are more than welcome to. If you'd like to leave a comment for me, the podficker, you can do so on the podfic post, which is probably wherever you found this podfic in the first place. If you'd like to leave a comment for the author, you can do so on the text post, which you can probably find from a link in the podfic post. Thanks for listening!